And we're going to read verse 14. Psalm 139:14. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy books all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now, the psalmist here is talking, it's David, and he's talking about God, how good God is to us, and how God has made every one of us special. Look at your neighbor and say, you know you're special to God. Amen. Think about that for a minute. God made you special. Amen. Isn't it so awesome? Matter of fact, God made you so special that He gave every one of us something that makes us 100% unique from anybody else, our fingerprints. Isn't that amazing how every human being born on the earth has their own fingerprints? That's how special you are to God. He made you separate from anybody else. He made you special. And so today, I want you to get a hold of that. We want to talk about the fact that God loves us so much that He made us special and we're special in His eyes. You know, He told Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 5, He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. See, that's what David was talking about here. He said, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Think about that. God knew Jeremiah before He ever formed him, and He also put a call on his life before he was ever born. See, sometimes folks think that, you know, well, I don't know what I'm doing here. Well, God's got a call on every one of our lives. You might not be called to be a prophet, but you're called to be a person in the kingdom of God that carries the anointing. See, God has made every one of us special, and God made us so that we could carry His anointing and His Spirit everywhere we go. Amen. See, God made us that way. He made us so that He would get glory out of us. We're not an accident. Come on, I don't care what your parents told you, you're not an accident. You're not a nobody. Amen. God had plans for you all along. Come on, your parents might not have known it, but God did. Right? Come on, so you're special to God. He made you to be that carrier. Now, you know, we have to, though, then decide if we're going to choose to be a carrier and live that life, or we're going to live the life that won't allow us to be able to carry the Spirit of God and the anointing of God. See, we come to that place where, you know, we have to choose. God's will and God's favor in our life is for us to be born again, have His Spirit come on the inside of us, and us carry that anointing that He places upon His life. That's God's will for every person. God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, right? That's God's will. But you see, God will not override your will. God will allow you to live the life you want to live. See, you hear people all the time, well, why would a good God let anybody go to hell? Well, here's the thing. God doesn't let you. You do it. God doesn't make you go to hell. You choose the life you're going to live. You choose the road that you're going to walk. You choose the path you're going to take. It's up to you. I'm going to prove it to you here from the Word, so you might as well just go ahead and say amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, here's what God says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. He says, I'm giving you the choice whether you want life or death, blessing or cursing. Well, you know, that's one of those big duhs, right? should be. But it's amazing that people are going to hell every day. People are living under a curse every day because they're refusing to accept Jesus Christ into their life. God loves you so much that He let Jesus die for you. And all He says is, all I want you to do is just accept Him as your Savior. Let Him be Lord of your life. And you can live in the life that I give you. And the blessing will be upon your life. Amen. Now you can choose to live that life serving the devil. You say, well, I would never serve the devil. Well, see, there's only two that you can serve. There's only God and there's only the devil. Come on, so you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to get you to understand and know you either choose life or you choose death. You either choose blessing or you choose cursing. And it's up to you to choose. I believe, a lot of folks say, well, you can't just get saved when you want to. I understand Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except by me. But I believe that right here in this house right now, the drawing power of God's all over this place. I just feel it all over me that God's speaking to hearts all over this house. And you know that God wants you saved. So you have to make up your mind. How am I going to obey the Holy Ghost that's speaking to me, unctioning me? See, that's God speaking to you. That's God telling you. That's His voice. He loves you so much, He'll talk to you. He doesn't want to see you perish. He says, I want you to choose life. Well, to choose life, then that means we've got to choose Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Right? That's what Jesus said. He said it in John 14:6. I'll give that to you. See, God allowed Jesus to take our place and pay the price for our sin so that we could have eternal life and everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection, made a way for us to be able to choose life. Whoever receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, then receives the Holy Spirit to live inside them. When you receive Jesus, the Spirit of God comes in and lives on the inside of you. It's called the new birth. It's called being born again. Jesus told the woman at the well, He said, it'll be a well of water in you springing up into everlasting life. He's talking about that life that He gives. It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm bringing this about because I want you to understand that you and I are carriers. And we were made to carry this anointing, but before you can carry the anointing, the vessel's got to be prepared. Jesus said you don't put new wine into old bottles. Right? What was He talking about? He says, you've got to get this body ready for what's about to happen. It's got to be born again. Your spirit man has to be made new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When the Holy Spirit comes into you, you've been born again. You're a new person. A new spirit man has been created. You're new all over. Hallelujah. Now your body's not, it doesn't change, but its actions will. Its characteristics will. The things that comes out of its mouth will. Come on now, right? See, that's all part of being born again. The Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of us, and now we're new creatures in Christ. Now, go with me over here to Acts, because I want to show you something over here. Acts chapter 1. We all need to make sure that we get born again, because you can't get to heaven unless you get born again. No matter how good a person you are, no matter what you do for the church or do for church folks and all that stuff, those things don't get you to heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. To be born again means to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Okay? So now look here over in Acts chapter 1. Let's read down from verse 1 here. It says, this is Luke writing. He says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now notice what he said there. He said John baptized with John baptized unto repentance. He was getting the people to repent. But now Jesus says, now you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, what's he talking about? Well, just jump down to verse 8 and look what else he said. In verse 8 there, he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. See, this is the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made over there in John 7:37. Remember, he said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, Jesus is saying, here's what's going to happen. Power is going to come upon you. You get born again. That's the new birth. But then he said, there's something else going to happen. You, once you've been born again, now you're going to have power that's going to come upon you. When you believe on me, as the scriptures have said. See, a lot of folks, the reason they're not filled with the Holy Ghost is because they don't believe what the scriptures said. Well, I don't believe in all that stuff. Well, that's up to you where you believe it. I can show it to you in the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, how many knows it's got to be true? Yeah. Amen. So, and I'm just kind of wanting you to see this, because I want you to understand again, God has empowered you to carry this anointing. He's empowered you to carry. Think about it. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in the Holy Ghost, as he's talking about, the power you receive is the same power that God spoke into nothing and created everything with. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, living on the inside of you. Now, that's hard on our little minds, but that's what the Bible says. See, but how could you be a son or daughter of God and not have what your daddy has? Come on, you've got his DNA once you get born again. The Spirit of God's living on the inside of you. So you've got things operating on the inside of you now that you never had before. Why? Because you're a new creature in Christ now. So he says you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so the new birth is for us. Okay? It's for us. That well Jesus talked about, that's for us to draw from. But that rivers of water flowing out, coming out of us, That's for us to be able to go out to others and use it to help other people. See, God doesn't give you all the power of heaven just for you to sit around and say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I can speak in other tongues. No, that's just ridiculous. God empowers you so that you can be a help to others, because you and I are supposed to be imposing the kingdom of God here on this earth. You and I are supposed to be carrying what God gave us out to a lost and dying world. Well, I don't know what's God given us. Well, I'm glad you asked that. Go over with me to chapter 12 now of Corinthians. Let's just look right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll just read down through you. Look at this. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, we're starting in very, very first one. I would not have you ignorant. What's he saying? He says, I don't want you to be a person that does not know about spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are gifts of the Holy Ghost. And where's the Holy Ghost at? On the inside of you, right? So if he's on the inside of you, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he's on the inside of you, then these gifts have to operate through you. You're a carrier. Okay? And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. You know, most of the church is ignorant about it. They don't really, I don't know, I guess they just get to chapter 12 and just skip on by it and don't read it. But it's right there, right? Is it in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Are we all on the same thing here? Look here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, I wouldn't have you be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. He says, verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, they were having some trouble back then, and this is Paul just kind of helping them understand. Somebody come in here and tell you Jesus is not Lord, they're not a God. That's what he's saying, you know. And any spirit that says that's not of God. But then he goes on and he says, now, I'm wanting to tell you about spiritual gifts here. So he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. See, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And the Holy Ghost is the one operating these gifts through you. See, well, that's why sometimes you go to churches and there's a lot of chaos. It's not always the Holy Ghost doing it. It's folks that get over into their flesh and there's things that happen and all that. But if it's the Holy Ghost, see, since all of it operates by the same Spirit, what I'm trying to tell you is if why I'm preaching here under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, somebody's not going to break out back here and while I'm talking and start giving a tongue or doing something back here to draw attention there. Because the Holy Ghost is not going to do that. He's not going to cause confusion or anything like that. You know, the Bible even talks about the prophets. They can all speak, but let one hold their peace while the next one speaks. Why? Because you can't listen to two people talk at the same time. You ever tried that? That's pretty rough, right? Pastorette, a lot of times if I can be on the phone and she'll start talking to me and she's wanting me to answer and I can't listen to them, you know. But now if we turn that around and she's on the phone, she'll look at me and go, you know. Come on, husbands and wives, you know, yeah. Don't leave us out there. We're just telling on all of us here. You know. No, to see the Holy Ghost is he's not going to do something. He operates all these. He says, you know, it's the same Spirit. He says, and there's differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. In other words, God can use different people in different ways to manifest these gifts. The same Holy Spirit in you may use you in a different way than He uses me. Amen. But it'll still be the Holy Ghost operating these gifts. What gifts are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, here they are. He says, but the manifestation, notice this now. Well, let me go ahead and he says, did I get verse 6? And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, when God manifests and the Holy Spirit manifests through you and He begins to use you, it's to help everybody. Amen. It's not for just, you know, one or two or whatever. It's for the church when it's the Holy Ghost and He's given these things. But He goes on and says, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Well, see, a word of wisdom, that's supernatural revelation of a plan or purpose of God. The word of wisdom, it usually talks toward the future. So what I'm trying to tell you is that God sometimes, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, will reveal something He's getting ready to do. It usually speaks toward the future, something about to happen. That's what you're a carrier of. Do you realize that? And I'll show you something in just a minute, but just bear that in mind. Then he goes on and he says to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Well, you see, word of knowledge, see, that is a supernatural revelation of facts in the mind of God. That deals with maybe things that are going on right now, present and past, things that are already happened. Okay. And I'll talk just a little bit about it, but I'm not teaching on these things. I just want to show you that they're there and they're gifts of the Spirit. And if you're carrying the Spirit, then those gifts are apt to manifest if you allow them to manifest. God wants to use you. Okay. Then he goes on and he says to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, when we read that, and I was first learning about this and studying this out, that kind of messed with me there because the Bible says that God's given to every man the measure of faith. The Bible also says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So when it says He gave, you know, He's given these gifts and, you know, and he gives them to several as he wills, if we'll read in a minute. The faith thing kind of messed with me. But as you study this out, you'll find out that he's talking about a supernatural faith. A special faith that will help you takes you past and beyond just normal faith to the place that you can receive a miracle. You can believe for something that you couldn't normally believe for. And see, again, this is when the Holy Ghost wills. This is the Holy Ghost operating. You can believe beyond regular belief. Or you can have faith beyond regular faith. It's a gift of the Spirit. Okay? So God wants to use you in some of these things. And so I'm bringing them forth today because I want you to understand, you're special. God loves you and He's made you a carrier of those things. And He goes on this. And He says, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Notice the gifts of healing. Now, we know that healings take place, and we've talked about this before in the past, but I don't want to get into it too much. But anyway, healing, gifts of healing, is super manifestation of healing by God that does not include any kind of natural means, including a doctor. It's just God doing the healing, and the doctor didn't have nothing to do with it. The medicine didn't have nothing to do with it. Nothing had any, it's just the healing that God gives. That manifests. And notice it's healings, thank God. It's not just one, it's healings, praise God. Now, I'm talking about gifts that are gifts of the Holy Spirit that you carry. They're in you. See, that makes us get quiet. I'll explain just in a little bit. Let me go on to get through these. There's the gifts of healing. To another, notice it's by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles. Well, the working of miracles is simply this. That's supernatural Holy Ghost move in your life to use you to work a miracle. God will use you to work a miracle. Now, you didn't do it. The Holy Ghost did it through you. Right? How many knows a water hose is not the water? Right? That's not what gets you wet. But it carries the water that gets you wet. See, you and I are carriers. We're carrying this. It's all God. It's all His Spirit. He's the one doing it all. But we have to make ourselves available for God to use us so that we carry it out to a lost and dying world. Why? Well, why would God be doing it? Because He wants to get glory. He wants people to know that He is God. Because everybody knows you couldn't heal nobody. You couldn't work any kind of miracle on your own. Come on, right? You ain't got no supernatural knowledge of God unless God gives it to you. Right? It's all the Spirit working through us. The next one is to another prophecy. Well, prophecy is the supernatural speaking forth in a natural tongue. In other words, you understand it. It's in a known tongue. Somebody prophesies. Now, the Bible says you can all prophesy one by one. Amen. You know, but this is a supernatural prophecy. This is God using you by the Holy Ghost. And notice then it says to another discerning of spirits. Now, discerning of spirits, it gets messed up a lot of times. People think you're talking about, you know, well, I got the gift of discernment. I can just look at somebody and discern. No, you're caught up in the flesh. There's no such thing as the gift of discernment. There's the gift of discerning of spirits, and discerning of spirits is seeing into the spirit realm. It's not about natural spirits. It's not about human spirits. It's about seeing into the spirit realm. Again, if you could see into the spirit realm right now, you could see angels all around us. You would see demons. Because there's devils in every church service wanting to try to disrupt, try to do this or do that, you know. Come on, you'd see into the supernatural realm. That's what discerning of spirits is. And there are times you say, well, why in the world would God want us to be able to do that? Well, you see, these gifts, again, are gifts of the Spirit, and they're for you to help others. Now, just imagine if you're trying to help somebody, and God allows that gift to operate in you, and you see the Spirit that's behind whatever's going on with that person. See, it's not always a sickness or a disease. Did you hear me? Sometimes somebody's ailment is a demonic force that's attached itself to them, trying to bring them down. I'll never forget Dad Hagin talks about the fact that he went to minister to a person and they had a dark place all over them, and there was a demonic spirit attached to them. Everybody thought they had cancer. They was diagnosed as cancer. But he spoke to that spirit and he said he watched that spirit drop off and drop out of them. They was healed. That was gone, you see. Now that's what I'm talking about, being able to discern what's going on in the spirit realm. That's what that is. How important is that gift to be able for God to operate that through you? Okay? Then you get down and you see to another divers kinds of tongues. Well, divers kinds of tongues is a supernatural speaking forth in an unknown tongue. Okay? Like I said to folks that, you don't have to believe in tongues if you don't want to, but you don't have to believe the Bible if you don't want to, but there it is. It's a gift of the Spirit. Except this is not just tongues. This is a supernatural Holy Ghost gift. See, here's the thing. Once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost comes into you, and the power comes of the Holy Ghost is upon you and in you, then you will speak in another language. It's actually the evidence of you getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, that Bible don't say that. Go look everywhere somebody got filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll see them speaking with other tongues. Right? Somebody said, well, now Paul over there in Acts chapter 9 now, when Ananias laid hands on him, he said, you be well filled with the Holy Ghost. And Paul never spoke in tongues there. Well, over in Corinthians, Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. Sound a little southern to me, y'all. Right? So, you get your prayer language when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Prayer language? Yes. You get that language that only you and God know. Just like your fingerprints. When you start praying in that prayer language, God says, well, that's Mike. That's Rick. That's Debbie. Because you're praying in a language that the devil cannot understand. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. See, sometimes the Bible teaches us and it says, there's times when we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Ghost, He knows our situation. He knows the mind of the God. And He will make intercessions for us with utterings that we don't even understand. But we pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is praying through us the perfect prayer. See, that's what it means when you get born and filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak in other tongues. Folks say, you don't have to speak in other tongues to go to heaven. You absolutely do not. You must be born again to go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost and get that heavenly language, when you don't know how to pray, you can pray in tongues. When somebody calls you up and says, I can't tell you the situation, it's hard to pray for something when you don't know what it is. Right? Well, I can't tell you this, but I have an unspoken request. People do that kind of stuff all the time. How do you pray for an unspoken request? All you can do is just say, Lord, it's unspoken. I don't know what it is, but I pray that you help them. But if you pray in the Spirit knows what's going on. And you just begin to pray in the Spirit and pray that thing out, and you'll pray out the perfect prayer there for that situation. So it's important, that you pray. And of course, Jude tells us there, too. I'm taking a minute here because we are a full gospel church and we do believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. Jude tells us that he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you're building yourself up when you pray in your prayer language. That builds you up. That makes you stronger. Amen. You believe it, you pray it out. Now, again, that's separate from this gift that he's talking about here. You can pray anytime you want to, anywhere you want to. Now, when it comes to the gift, that's a supernatural telling forth of an unknown tongue. If I start speaking to you in an unknown tongue, then there has to be an interpretation of tongues, which is next. That means somebody's got to interpret what was said. That's to keep things in order, because you wouldn't know what was said if somebody didn't interpret that. Okay? So there's difference. There's the private tongue that you pray, and then there's a public tongue that's given to the public that needs an interpretation. Now, let me just clarify this, too, though. At any time, if we're all together and we're praising God and I just say, go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost, you can do that without an interpretation because you're not talking to anybody in here. You're talking to Him. And you say, yeah, but you're still speaking in tongues out in public. Well, you know, if I tell everybody just go ahead and pray, would you want somebody to walk over and say, what are you saying to God? Well, ain't none of your business what I'm saying to God. I'm talking to Him. Whether I'm talking to Him in English or whether I'm talking to Him in tongues, that's my business. That don't need an interpretation. But if it's something like this, then I would have to interpret it. Okay? Now, and understand also, since we're on that, I think that is it not next, the next one, interpretation of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Okay? All right. Let me just help you with this. It's not a translation of tongues. It's an interpretation of tongues. Translations are usually word for word to a certain extent. Right? So if you get somebody gives the message, then the translation will be close to the same. I know some languages carry out a little farther, whatever. But an interpretation of tongues is this. Somebody may just say three words in tongues and somebody may give a 3-minute interpretation of that tongue of what God's given them to say. Vice versa, somebody may get up and speak in tongues for 3 minutes and the interpretation be 4 or 5 words. Why? Because it's an interpretation of what has been said that God gives. Now, in all that, I want you to notice that there was a word of knowledge and there was a word of wisdom. And so this will just help you because you're carriers of this. Okay, I'm about to show you. God, it goes on and says that God works all of these severally as He wills. In other words, He uses who He wants to, when He wants to, and how He wants to. So I'm trying to instruct you just a little bit that when God wants to use you, this is kind of the things that are going to take place. When it talks about a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, God has used me in both of those. And I want to tell you something. When it says a word, it's a word sometimes. Just one word. Sometimes when somebody gives a tongue and he gives me an interpretation, 1 or 2 words of it. Oh my God, they just went on and on and on, you know, and now you... But see, what happens is when you step out in faith, that word becomes God's thought. And you speak it out. He shows it to you as you're speaking it out. You see, you got to operate in faith and let the gift operate in you. And when you open your mouth and begin to let the Holy Ghost use it, then He'll go ahead and say what God wanted to say through you. It calls it a word because that's about all He gives you. You know, and those that have operated understand what I'm talking about. But it's good to have yourself ready because God will show you sometimes. I've had God just you know, I'd be dealing with a situation and God just, there'd just be 1 or 2 words. And I'd go ahead and just start saying it. But then all of a sudden the rest of it would come. I trust God, don't you? See, that's the Holy Ghost and that's Him operating. Because it ain't you in a way. You realize that. It's the Holy Ghost operating through you, and you're just trusting Him to operate through you. So it goes on down there, and then it says, you know, that, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit. In other words, it's all by the Holy Ghost. And it says, dividing to every man severally as he wills. And again, it's Him using who He wants to, when He wants to. So God made every one of us so that these gifts could work through us by the Holy Ghost. And He wants you to be a carrier of those things. It does. God might, you may go a long time and God never use you. But then all of a sudden, there, the Holy Ghost says, I want you to do this, say this, or give you a word of knowledge, or give you a word of wisdom, or maybe give you a tongue, or maybe give you an interpretation. And you've got to be willing because the Holy Ghost is living on the inside. You've got to be willing to trust Him. I'll never forget, I was right down here. Because I was tore up, okay? You know, because when you say stuff, you're responsible for what comes out of your mouth. And especially if you've given a prophecy or saying something. I'll never forget that I was right here, and the Lord told us, Stevie Hard and Jeannie were sitting right back yonder, and the doctors had told them they couldn't have a child. And I walked right over there, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says, tell them they're going to have a child. And I just turned around and said, God says you're going to have a child. I just turned around and said, oh my God, what did I just say? I promise that's the way I felt. I mean, what did I just... Because I just said that out in public. But you see, it wasn't me, it's the Holy Ghost, and I trust the Holy Ghost. I've had folks come up to me after the prayer line and say, "Now, what was that you said to me?" I don't know. Because I was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and He was speaking through me, and I don't have a clue what I said to you. Amen. See, that's the way the Holy Ghost does. See, that it's kind of under the same thing that sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm saying stuff, and I know what's in my mind and what I'm saying, but for you, God may be speaking to you in a different way. And I've had people come up and say, "What you said today was hit me right in the head. Right on me." Sister Renata used to say, "You've been in my kitchen." You know? But that's what the Holy Ghost does, see? And it's not just because I'm a preacher. I'm a believer just like you. This is gifts that operates in the whole body. And God made you so special, He wants to operate His gifts through you. You see, so we should never just come into the church and think we're just coming to have a church service. We're just coming to listen to the preaching. We're just coming to listen to the praise and worship. No, you are the church. And members in particular, if you go ahead and read on down that chapter. And God wants to use every one of us. And He uses us differently the way He wants to use us. But He never uses us outside of His Spirit. Because all these are gifts of the Spirit that He wants to use through us. So see, I just felt like today, God, as I meditated on this, God said, "I just want you to tell them that they are carriers of everything that I have. All my gifts, all my power, everything that I have belongs to them. And they need to see themselves that way and quit looking at themselves differently. Don't look at yourself as nothing and nobody. Don't look at yourself like you can't do anything, because you are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. God has created you to carry this thing. Amen. You've been anointed. I'm not going to take any more time. I could go on with it. I've got more scripture. But I just want to get across to you that God loves you. You are absolutely special to God. God knows you individually. He knows your deepest thoughts. He knows your greatest desires. And He loves you enough to say, "I'm here for you. Choose life so that I can give you what you're asking. Choose life so that I can put my anointing upon your life and make you what I want you to be. I promise what He wants you to be is much greater than what you think you want to be." I thought I wanted to be a professional fisherman. Imagine that. You know? And he said, "Joke's on you. You're a fisherman, all right, but not a fish." I still like to fish, but He made me a fisher of men. Maybe He misunderstood me. No. See, God had this planned all along. He had you planned all along. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God's ordered your steps. Make sure that you choose to walk in the way that He's chosen for you. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray.